looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You will dream it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I'm at the top of the world, the top of the
world, the top of the world tonight. Oh no. Is that Lyle L. Crocodile?
That's Shawn Mendes as Lyle L. Crocodile, featuring original songs from the musical team behind The Greatest Showman.
Oh, God, as if it couldn't get any worse.
They've written songs for a queer-coded straight kid who broke his arm, P.T. Barnum, and now a crocodile who can sing. Whose stepmom is Constance Wu?
But who's voiced by Shawn Mendes. There is something deeply, like, fitting about Shawn Mendes singing these songs.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. So I was scrolling through Twitter and I came across a tweet that said Shawn Mendes has been cast in some crocodile movie. And I was like, there's no way this is real. So I Googled it and it turns out that it is real. And just so many questions came to mind. Like, why is Shawn Mendes in it? Since when does he act? Why is he playing an animated crocodile? What the hell is this movie about? And I would just love to hear your thoughts on it. All right, me and Grease, crunch, crunch.
Did you notice that not once in the teaser for Lyle L. Crocodile, released by Sony Pictures Entertainment,
uh-huh,
do you hear Shawn Mendes speak? He only sings about being on the top of the world.
Do you think he only sings?
I was wondering, because the kid in the trailer, I never read this. I think I'm too old for this to have been a touch point in my childhood. The kid says, like, but mom, he can sing. So I'm not sure if it means he only sings or if he just can sing.
Who does Javier Bardem play?
He plays his co-star. Because at the end, they're like dancing together on stage and Javier Bardem puts on a top hat. But also it's sort of a father. I'm not sure if it's a father figure or a business
right.
partner.
So he is playing himself, per usual, Javier Bardem.
People exclusive, Shawn Mendes says lending his voice to Lyle Crocodile,
wait,
quote, felt natural.
Hold on. I have the answer for you. Sorry to interrupt. Even though I asked a question, this People magazine exclusive article about Lyle Crocodile says what was really amazing was that Lyle as a character only sings. So I felt really comfortable playing his character, Mendes 23 tells People.
That's fun because it means that there's less acting, you know, like...
Right.
I could see that actually being kind of a relief for someone who's known as a musician who gets his first like voiceover work. You know, if you're only singing, you're doing what you do.
I could see any spoken Shawn Mendes kind of coming out like that line spoken by Pauly Shore in the
God. Oh, no.
In the
uh-oh.
In the what's it called? What's that? A Pinocchio
you love
trailer, you know?
Encino Man. Oh, you meant Pinocchio. Oh, no. What does he say?
He says, Mom, I want to see the world. You know, like, and everybody kind of clowned it. It was a great line. I think they cut
where
it.
Where is it? I want to
from the
hear
movie.
It again. Here it is again.
Mom, I am going to see the world. It feels very much like that.
Father, when can I leave to be on my own?
Yeah, it's very Shawn Mendes. Shawn Mendes speaking as a crocodile could be giving that.
It's certainly not giving dots.
Wow, Shawn Mendes ends this profile saying, I'm a huge Richard Curtis fan, so we have to stan. I've fully changed my opinion about Shawn Mendes.
Well, he asked what he wants to do. It's like, what kind of role do you want to be in? And he's like, I'm just going to keep singing as crocodiles until Richard Curtis calls. Richard Curtis, put him in a movie.
Richard, give Shawn Mendes a call.
If anyone's going to write a great role for Shawn Mendes, it's going to be Richard Curtis.
I agree.
Four Weddings and a Crocodile. You are listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Let's start with comments as usual.
Hey, Who Weekly. Long time, long time. I'm sure you're getting a lot of calls about this, but I was thinking about actors who played their parents or their parents' roles, and, you know, Ice Cube's son playing him in Straight Outta Compton comes to mind. And then also I was thinking that recently James Gandolfini's son played Tony Soprano in the prequel. And even though, you know, that's not him playing his dad, it's him playing, you know, his dad who has passed in one of the most iconic roles of all time. So, you know, no pressure. But, you know, my question for y'all is, you know, what do you think in terms of nepotism and the ability to kind of launch yourself into stardom, into themdom, is it a good idea or a bad idea to kind of play this version of your parents? Or does this kind of, you know, push you to always being in your parents' shadow? Let's know what you thought. Love y'all. Leanne Cuisine, Crunch Crunch.
The caller, this is good. So Ice Cube's son and James Gandolfini's son played their fathers in recent movies, Straight Outta Compton and what was the Sopranos movie? The Many Saints of Newark. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's good or bad for a career? Do you think it shoehorns them into staying in their parents' shadow?
Well, they can't really play their parents again.
Right,
but
right.
I mean, I think James Gandolfini's son playing him in a prequel worked because he pulled it off and his father is no longer with us, which makes it a little bit more emotionally grounded mm-hmm. in kind of a, it's a more sweet tribute versus being maybe more of a kind of one trick pony situation. And he, I think he's been working since then.
And so has O'Shea Jackson Jr. He's in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. You know, I think he's doing fine. It seems like this is a good idea, you know? I mean, breaking into Hollywood is half the battle, like getting that first role. So if you have to get the first role playing your parent, fine. It's probably helping both of them get work. Okay, next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, long time. So I had to pause the call because you were talking about Daniel Hum, Demi Moore's new boyfriend. And he's actually a really famous chef of 11 Madison Park. And recently there was an article that came out about how I think it was in Business Insider, I want to say, about how basically 1 or 2 years ago, the entire restaurant decided to go vegan all of a sudden. And since then, he's like really kind of like fucked up the whole restaurant. There's all these scandals that have happened. One involving Woody Harrelson. So he's kind of someone who I feel like was a really well-respected chef, and now he's just like, I don't know, like using his connections to become a celebrity. Anyway, I highly recommend the article. Yeah, really interesting stuff. The Woody Harrelson story is really funny too. But yeah, Lindsay and Bezler.
Bye. How does this involve Woody Harrelson?
Okay, I'll start with the Woody Harrelson story from the Business Insider piece before we move on to Daniel Hum. So it says, 5 people said Hum rarely visited the kitchen during service, except to take VIP guests on tours, laughing with them as cooks silently prepared meals. Yervez recalls the chef personally calling in Angelina Jolie's agent to invite Jolie to the reopening. One memorable 2021 kitchen tour ended with Woody Harrelson and Hum dancing around the kitchen and lighting up a joint, an event that delighted some employees while disgusting others. Quote, he acted like an idiot, a former front of house employee said.
Wow. So this caller is saying that the timing is almost too weird that mm-hmm. Demi Moore is going public with her relationship with this guy, and he's going through a very public scandal with his mm-hmm. very high profile restaurant in taking over their kitchen, turning it vegan, and royally fucking up the entire system.
Mm-hmm. A former employee calls it a farm to trash pipeline.
That's so funny. That's funny.
This is like a Business Insider premium story. Shout out to them.
And this isn't like cheap vegan food. This is like the most expensive meal in New York. But, you know, you're eating vegan and you're eating poorly. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah.
The kicker on this story is an interview with a line cook who worked at it before and after. And he just goes, it's definitely not as good as it was before. Definitely not worth the cost.
Right. And they were accusing the menu was vegan, but it was they were doing so much waste. There was so much food waste that whatever the mission was supposed to be, not all vegan missions have to do with food waste, but like, you know, some of them do. And this feels very antithetical to like the mission of the restaurant.
Right. The mission being like a more ethical way to consume food.
Right. Why you're eating vegan a lot of the time, or why somebody might come to a really fancy restaurant for an all vegan meal, which is unusual these days.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Okay, so if you do play this, you have to change my voice. But obviously, there have been rumors surrounding Funny Girl about Lea Michele coming in, replacing Ginny Feldstein. But I have the inside tip that she indeed is, because I know somebody who is friends with the person negotiating the contract. She's coming in to play the lead role, which is hilarious because of, you know, we know the Twitter memes and all that shit, but they're doing it because her team is trying to rehabilitate her career, and also Jane Lynch now has a hard out for when Lea Michele starts. I know this isn't news because things are being leaked about her doing this, but her coming in and Jane Lynch literally having a hard out for when Lea starts is really lovely. So yeah, haven't called in a long time. Crunch, crunch.
God, I didn't even think, thank you to this anon caller who, I guess the news, they called before the news was out.
But even the news is still rumored. The news is not official by anyone. The news is just confirmed by weird.
I think they did confirm.
No, it's not confirmed anywhere. It's confirmed by like Showbiz 411.
Well, I also got it confirmed independently by somebody who would know and was shocked because both you and I were on the team. This is never going to happen. It's like
there's no way.
It's insulting to Beanie Feldstein in a way that is like so rude. I thought very rude.
I thought it was insulting. Not that I really give a shit about Lea Michele, but like I thought it was insulting to her. I was like, why would she take like the leftovers here? You know?
But it's not the leftovers to her. First of all, she can come in and turn the production around and be the savior. And she's on a high because she just did her whole like press tour for Spring Awakening revival thing, that whole thing. And I think she's riding high because everybody loved it because people love that musical and she's a huge part of it. And I think it's like they kind of forgot like that we're not supposed to like her or whatever. It is so, so, so funny. I did not put it together until the caller said that Lea Michele comes in as Jane Lynch leaves. And that is like the perfect revolving door of like glee. Like Jane Lynch does not want to work with Lea Michele, I'll tell you that.
If Lea's here, I'm not here.
And that actually speaks to the fact that it's definitely true because Jane Lynch had a 6-month contract, but a lot of people renew those contracts. Like they're not like, usually you stay longer. I mean, the entire publicity for the show is wrapped around her image. It's not even like the cartoon that they have in the front of the theater is, it's Beanie. It's not Lea. You know what I mean?
If you are the illustrator who made the Beanie cartoon, please call us and let us know if you've already done the Lea silhouette.
I mean, I seriously think that the Spring Awakening reunion was a soft launch to see if people would like accept Lea back in, if she was singing, if she was doing a theater thing, right? Like it's almost like she's doing what she does best, right? She's staying, quote unquote, in her lane, you know, to see if we're okay with it. And people were okay with it. They, you know, forgot that she made people's lives miserable on the set of Glee. It'd be one thing if Lea Michele was just like kind of bullying people on the set of Glee, but it was like worse than that. Like she was being awful to people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a difference between, oh, Lea Michele was being mean to me on set and like, oh, Lea Michele was making horrible racist remarks repeatedly and now I'm like forever traumatized.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Because I think I'm hearing a lot of people being like, whatever. She was just like a bitch on a set when she was like 17 years old. Like who cares? It's or whatever, 19 years old. And it's like, I wouldn't care if it was just that either. You know, I'd say I love it. She's playing think, you know, that's, you know, she was method, but, you know.
Yeah, listen to our episode about, I think Samantha Ware is in the title of the episode where we talked about Samantha Ware and all of the stuff that Leah did to her. So it's like, for all of those reasons, this felt unbelievable to me, and I still sort of cannot believe that it's happening. But everyone seems to be saying it's happening.
But people forget. People have short memories. And, you know, like, her talent is immense. So they said, bring her on. And this is like, when you go through all the clips of how many songs from this show she's already sung on Glee, it's almost like ridiculous that she wouldn't. There's even a clip that I found from way back where she's sitting on Watch What Happens Live and Andy Cohen is like, hey, some so-and-so just bought the rights to, or I think it's Ryan Murphy, just bought the rights to Funny Girl. This was a million years ago. Would you want to play that role? Oh, of course, of course, of course, you know?
I heard Ryan Murphy bought the rights to Funny Girl. With you in mind for future productions, is that still going to happen? Please say yes.
I hope so. I really hope so. I think that we were thinking of doing it right after Glee, but I did a lot of the songs from Funny Girl on Glee, so it felt like a little soon. But I feel really ready to do it now, so maybe we can do it soon.
It does feel like, you know, she almost shot herself in the foot by saying she would play it, and then when she didn't, it was like, yay. But now there's this redeeming thing. In a way, it's a little bit triumphant, like, you know,
Critics are going to walk out of this being like, oh no, that was really good.
Well, well, people are forgetting that the musical was panned alongside Beanie. Like, it wasn't just like Beanie sucks, the musical's
the revival
fantastic.
Itself was
yeah, they said, Funny Girl, it's okay, I guess. And Beanie doesn't make it better. So the question is, can like Lea Michele elevate this musical that's like feeling like meh, you know?
I'll take a free ticket. Will I pay? I don't know.
I will certainly take a free ticket.
I'd see it. For free. Caller, you seem to know a lot of things, and if you know how to get free tickets, let us know.
It's just crazy that you're right. This is, it's been rumored. It's practically confirmed by anyone who knows anyone who maybe knows anyone who works in the theater realm, and yet we're somehow waiting to confirm it in the press. Like, what are we waiting for? Do you think they're holding off because it's, like, rude?
They probably want to be respectful to Beanie.
Yeah, because she's
her,
back.
Like, goodbye post, time to breathe, you know? This reminds me of New Coke. Where Coke releases New Coke, and the conspiracy is that they knew it would be a flop. And then when they bring back Coca-Cola Classic, they're like, ugh, isn't this what you wanted to begin with? Is Beanie Feldstein the new Coke? You know, did they bring up Beanie Feldstein knowing she would flop?
This is interesting you say this because it's kind of like what happened with Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
They kept saying Beanie Babies were leaving, but they were never leaving. They kept coming back.
They were never leaving.
Do you know what I mean? They tried to make them feel scarce, but they, you know, it didn't work, and they were a huge flop. Shout out to the Beanie Baby documentary that I saw on HBO, I think.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby, and Timmy. Long-time listener, many-time caller. We've never played any of my calls before. And if you play this one, it'll actually be kind of annoying because I hate math. But Denica McKellar did solve a theorem when she was at UCLA, and it's something called the Jays-McKellar-Wynn theorem, and it has to, I don't know, it's something to, something about, it says proving that there could be multiple states of thermal equilibrium, whatever that means. I don't know. I was an English major. I'm sorry. I have COVID right now, which is why I sound like this. But yeah, so she did do a theorem. I don't know if theorems are something that you do, whatever. She did. Good form, Bella Thorne, all of that. I got COVID and it really sucks. And I was double vaxxed and double boosted. It's no joke, people. There's still a pandemic. Mask up. Mask up. Bye.
We never talked about the theorem. We may have read, I co-authored a mathematical physics theorem when she did her 25 things in July 2020. We may have talked about that.
Damn it.
But I don't think we named it because I searched all of our docs and we've never talked about the theorem in
and
all of our docs.
And this was because I taunted her and I said, do some math. And I'm sorry, she did some math, I guess. I don't know. She did math.
She co-authored a mathematical physics theorem now called the Chase-McKellar-Wind theorem.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, definitely.
She did an interview with NPR where she talked about it and says this, quote, we took a two-dimensional mathematical model of magnetic material and proved a theorem about it. It's called the Ashkin-Teller model, and it's a pretend two-dimensional lattice grid representation of this material, and it has properties based on temperature. One of them is called percolation, and another one is called whether it has multiple Gibbs states or not.
Okay.
I can't read any more of that, but good for her.
The Times wrote about this a million years ago, and they wrote, she even managed to combine math and acting for one role in a production of Proof, the Pulitzer Prize-winning play by David Auburn in her hometown of San Diego. She played the main character, a young woman who claims to have solved a complicated mathematical proof.
I've only seen the proof with Gwyneth.
Of course. But this is cute. She played the person who solved a proof, and she in real life had solved a proof.
Yeah, that's good. Now she's on GAC.
I'm sorry for saying go do something useful like solve a theorem. She already solved a theorem. Now she can fuck off on GAC.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I'm eating crow. Sorry.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I'm sure you're getting a billion calls about this, but I just saw that Pop Crave posted that Diane Warren is receiving an honorary Oscar. Yeah, it's big news. Exciting times. Crunch, crunch.
Like,
it's like, who else is getting, it's Diane Warren, Peter Weir.
I don't care who else. I mean, these are all, everyone has their own scenario, but for Diane, it's very...
Michael J. Fox hasn't been nominated for 15 Oscars. Right. Yes.
And not won any of them. And up until this last year. We're talking about like, it's a current affair, you know? It's a current affair.
Yeah. She sounds very excited about it.
She's getting her Oscar. She's getting her Oscar.
I'm saying, like, she deserves better than this, but to her, it seems like publicly she's hyped for this. And she's like, this rules. I still can't believe this. Wow, what a dream come true. I've been waiting a pretty long time to say the words. I'd like to thank the Academy. Tongue out, winky face. Thank you, everyone, especially my dear friends and governors of the Academy.
Not tongue out, winky face. You can't do tongue out, winky face on stage. That's for sure.
She seems happy.
You know, it's interesting because it's just more like... Like, they know that she might not necessarily pull off the Oscar outside of this type of award. And we've seen from her recent work with Rita Ora that, I don't know.
The really fucked up thing is that Gaga's going to win the Oscar this year. Gaga's like...
Ugh. Yeah, what even is her competition?
I mean, Lyle L. Crocodile? I don't know. Oh, Pesek and Paul at Lyle L. Crocodile? I don't know what else there is.
Right. I mean, truly...
I mean, Hold My Hand is the song to beat. My Hold My Hand merch shipped yesterday.
I know. It's crazy.
Did I send you that?
It's crazy that you bought Hold My Hand Top Gun Army Propaganda merch and it's shipped to you out after the movie is like about to leave theaters, you know?
Well, that's like when I bought the Stupid Love shirt before the pandemic, but it was delivered mid-quarantine, like horrible New York City quarantine. And I was like, well, this is a bright spot, I guess, but I don't know where to wear it.
I think Steven never received his Gaga, his Chromatica jock strap.
He says he never got his jock.
It never shipped.
It's crazy, this merch system.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy to release Top Gun Lady Gaga merch. I'm sorry. That's crazy. She's crazy for that one. And you are absolutely certifiable for buying it.
Well, you know.
Where are you going to wear this?
Your house. The certifiable thing is that I showed you this when you added the Lady Gaga Top Gun merch to your cart. It goes, would you like to throw this in too? And it was trying to add Love for Sale. I was like, no, I don't want to pay for Love for Sale on CD. But as it turns out,
Love for Sale merch is timeless. You bought something quite timely. You know what? You can wear it at the Oscars this year.
That's true.
That's next year or whatever. You can buy, you wear it at the Oscars. Yeah, fair.
Okay. So Diane Warren does seem very excited about this. It feels rude for a reason because it's like, oh, she's not winning it legitimately, blah, 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 blah. But they're still thinking of her and it is an honor and she seems to be honored by it. And in an interview with Variety, she says that she's going to keep it on the piano so that she can look at it all the time. And she says, I'm so excited to have gotten this. The Governor's Award is some pretty deep respect. And I think knowing that it's coming from people that she respects is still something.
No, I mean, I think that she wants recognition from the Academy and this is it. It's not even about, for her, the ego. Maybe it's a little about the ego. But like,
it's a little about the ego.
It does feel like, please notice the fact that I've been nominated 400,000 times. And like each time via some sort of fluke, I've lost. Some flukes, some not flukes. But some genuine flukes, you know?
Right. And sometimes, and like, yeah, the Reba song from the bad movie with Glenn Close and Mila Kunis was a terrible song. But you look back on her nominations and it's like, she should have won 4 times before this and she didn't.
Yes, definitely.
So fine. Good. I'm glad the Oscars feel guilty for not having given this to her earlier. Let's play the next call. I love my Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it. When I sleep on other beds,
what is there
I
else
get
to
mad.
Say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want my bed.
It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's yes. the one that I will not stop mm-hmm. using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. Mm-hmm. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time, and I'm
no
like,
way.
You have to move because
no
I
way.
Need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's
wow.
irritating, actually.
Wow.
He likes
okay.
the Helix
rude.
So much.
It's so rude.
Everybody is unique, and I mean everybody, two words, because everyone sleeps differently. Their bodies are different, and that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Lindsay, what is Rakuten? Tell everyone. I have Rakuten. I'm looking at it right now in my browser, but explain. You're good at explaining what Rakuten is because you love it.
It's the smartest way to save money when you shop. Duh. No, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is, but I'm not really telling you what it is. That's what it does. It knows where you're shopping. It says, here's how to save money. It gives you cash back for all types of stores because Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop because members get cash back at over 3,500 stores across every category, including fashion, beauty, electronics, home essentials, travel, dining, and more.
Your favorite stores like Dyson, Samsung, or Nike pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. That's you. Cashback is deposited directly into your PayPal account, or Rakuten can send you a check. The choice is yours. Lindsay likes the PayPal account. I'm sort of into a paper check. I like that idea. You can even maximize your savings by stacking cashback on top of other deals like store sales and coupons. So shop for everything from fashion to beauty, home decor to groceries, even kids' school supplies. You're already shopping at your favorite stores, so why not save while you're doing it? It's a no-brainer, and membership is free and easy to sign up.
Get the Rakuten app now and join the 17 million members who are already saving. Cashback rates change daily. See Rakuten.com for details. That's Rakuten. Your cashback really adds up.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy. Hulu's been really pushing good luck to you, Leo Grande, on me. But who's Daryl McCormack? Any more info? Crunch, crunch. Leanne Cuisine.
I cut this from our last episode, but we went off on a little bit of a tangent recommending this movie on Hulu, and I'm sad that I cut it, but I knew we would end up talking about it again.
Well, it was very clear that after you see this movie, which I think that Hulu, I didn't even know it was out until you texted that you had watched it. I think Hulu's doing a terrible job with
I wrote about
this
in my Crunch Crunch. You can see it on patreon.com/weekly.
So Daryl McCormack, if you're watching this movie, you're definitely going to call about this guy,
ugh,
especially if
star.
You've never seen Peaky Blinders, because I've never seen Peaky Blinders.
Well, but also even if you'd seen Peaky Blinders, like our friend Fran, who's a Peaky stan, said didn't even recognize this guy from Peaky Blinders, because I guess he played is kind of a random somebody's son or something, you know?
Yeah. He does say in an interview that, like, he never gets recognized for Peaky Blinders. He's like, I look completely different in real life than I do in Peaky Blinders because the costuming is so intense, you know?
He's so handsome, this guy. I mean, truly, like, it's wild. And I know the movie does its job in creating a fantasy that he is a fantasy, and, like, that's why, but also he's just hot.
So why are we talking about Daryl McCormack? He is an Irish actor who stars in Good Luck to You, Leo Grand.
A terribly named movie on Hulu, but a fantastic film.
That's basically just him and Emma Thompson talking across various weeks in a hotel room for 90 minutes. and he's a sex worker, and she's like a retired woman who's only had sex with one person, her late husband, and she's like, I want to fuck you, but it makes me uncomfortable, and that's what the movie's about.
You really don't need to go into that much.
Well, I think it's important in like talking about like how we, it's like, it's not like Bridgerton sexy, that's like very like populist, broad, easy to get into sexy. It is like a talky movie that's a harder sell than something like Bridgerton or Outlander or a movie like Deepwater, you know, like.
Yeah, but I think it's just as sexy, if not more sexy than Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Like, if I think it's actually more sexy than Bridgerton.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, might as well be a play. It's a literal two-hander. There's two characters, maybe one, there's probably one extra character who's that waitress. Mm-hmm. You know, waitress, like there's, yeah. it's such a COVID movie. It's still so good. It's so easy to watch. And I think he is like, this is, I think if this had a little bit more publicity, like this guy would get a real push.
They're both doing a lot of press for it. And he is getting interviewed everywhere. But like, I still didn't know that this movie had come out until you texted me about it.
Yeah.
But the press that he's getting feels very warranted and makes me feel like he is the type of person who could kind of become a breakout them. Like, this doesn't feel like a one-off thing to me. Not that it's exactly the same like with Thelma and Louise and Brad Pitt, but this is one of those movies where like you've never heard of this guy, and the moment the movie is over you're like, who the fuck was that?
Right. Like, he should get the attention that what's his face got after Bridgerton season one. What's his name?
Reggie Jean Page.
Thank you. I want this guy to get what Paul Mezcal got, the attention that Paul Mezcal got. Mm-hmm. Like, I want, you know, I want that for him. But it really does feel like the winds of promotion and what people are watching and what like takes off. Maybe this is a slow grow.
Mm-hmm.
Not
a slow
that
burn.
Was supposed to be a double entendre. Maybe this is like, you know, maybe this takes time. Maybe mm-hmm. we need to talk about it so more people can watch it and say, damn, that was hot.
Yeah. So he's done Irish stuff before. He was in an Irish soap opera. He's in Peaky Blinders, which is, you know, the Irish, like a gang. It's a gang. And what's his name? Cillian Murphy's in it?
Do not ask me what Peaky Blinders is about. I don't want to even talk about Peaky Blinders.
And Lindsay found out that before he was like a working actor on TV, he was in a PSA for the Irish referendum 2013, where they were voting on something called, I looked this up and I was like, what's this?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't want to look it up. What was it?
It was some Irish referendum, but he wasn't picking sides. It was just like, be sure to vote. He like, said, you have vote. A voice, Irish. And he spoke
but
in
listen,
Gaelic.
The speaking in Gaelic is the true. Like, you have to play this.
He's
clip.
Like,
it's so
I'm Irish.
It's so good.
I want to hear it again.
I love it.
Every Irish citizen has a vote. And no matter what the politicians or the media or any other group in the country want, only you and I have the power to make the decision. By voting. Is féidir le gach saoránach ar nach vóta a chaitheamh. Agus is cuma cada deir na polatóirí nó na meán nó aon grúpa eile sa tír.
Okay. I'll vote.
I'm voting.
I'm going to vote. I'm voting.
I can't vote. I just voted, actually, but not in Ireland.
So like I was saying, he's doing a lot of press. The meatiest piece that I've read about him so far is in The Guardian. They say he looks like a guy in an advert for a 60,000-pound watch, which I think is a good way of describing him. So he talks about like how he grew up in Ireland. He was one of the only like biracial kids that he knew. Everyone else was white. And he talks about his early career. And also every other interview is like, what was it like fucking Emma Thompson? And
I know.
He's like, it was easy. It was great. We didn't even have an intimacy coordinator. Like, we just like got along great, and the director was wonderful. And Emma Thompson and I are best friends now. Like, we're totally mates. I love her. She loves me. It's iconic.
Well, it's like, it's hard because it's like, what do you ask in a movie like this? I mean, you can ask a little bit about like the person who wrote it and like what, you know, whatever. But then it's like, obviously what everybody wants to ask is like, wow, what a like capital B brave movie mm-hmm. for Emma Thompson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's clearly the kind of press that this movie is going to get no matter what you do. And I would say he handles it really well. And so like, and they both handle it really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's seasoned. She's a pro. So it's like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And his next show is he's in an Apple TV Plus show with Sharon Horgan, another Irish icon.
Oh, wait, I've heard of that one.
It's called Bad Sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, watch. Good luck to you, Leo Grand.
Good luck to you, Daryl McCormick.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby, Timmy, longtime listener, medium-time caller. I'm calling to inquire about Luke McFarlane. I keep seeing ads for the movie Bros, and he plays Billy Eichner's love interest. And based on a preliminary Google search, I have gathered that he has a prolific
Hallmark Christmas movie resume, and he's Canadian, and that's kind of it. So is there anything interesting about this man, or is he just a hunk? Thanks so much. Crunch, crunch.
Wow, two breakout 2022 rom-com hunks in a row. Rom-drom hunks in a row?
Well, breakout. We haven't seen Bros yet, so I can't. Yeah. I can't say whether this is breakout. But I will say that I find it really fucking charming that this guy, who's a prolific Hallmark leading man, is going almost, as you were, backwards in the normal career trajectory to star in a rom-com that is big budget, like Hollywood, you know, studio.
Yeah, yeah. Not that I've watched many of them, but I've never watched a Hallmark movie and seen someone, not like a Danica McKellar that I recognized from my childhood or something. I've never seen someone new in a Hallmark movie and said, they should be in the movies.
Right. Like,
you know, that doesn't
it's
happen.
It's so unique and so special to go backwards, but you're also going forwards. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The idea that you're kind of, usually you're washed up when you're doing Hallmark and not Hallmark one time or whatever. I'm talking about he's prolific. We're talking 7, 8, 9 Hallmark movies.
Yeah.
Single All the Way, Christmas in My Heart, Taking a Shot at Love, Chateau Christmas, A Valentine's Match, Sense, Sensibility, and Snowman, Just Add Romance.
A Shoe Addict. I've seen
that
one.
Which is one of my favorites.
I've seen that
Karen
one.
Karen Kingsbury's Maggie Christmas Miracle, The Birthday Wish, The Mistletoe Promise, Christmas Land. I mean, this is
I've
a body
of
work.
I've only seen two of these. Oh, I've seen three of these.
You saw Single All the Way, right?
I saw Single All the Way. I saw A Shoe Addict's Christmas, and I've seen Taking a Shot at Love.
I do love that, unlike all the GAC heads who defected, he signed a multi-picture deal with Hallmark. He's sticking. He loved.
Well, you know
why?
Still. Because he's blind. Well, because, I mean, he's gay.
But
this guy's also, so he's like 42. We were talking about Daryl McCormick, who is like 29, but that's even kind of late for a breakout role, like to be almost 30. This guy's in his 40s and getting like the breakout treatment, even though he is kind of, in addition to Hallmark, an established television actor too, because he was in Brothers and Sisters for so long.
Well, that was when his so-and-so breakout was, though, is he was on Brothers and Sisters. He had this very meaty role where he was in like, his love interest was none other than Matthew Reese. And they had this big kiss like this. They were in a romantic relationship on the show.
ABC on network television.
And then in 2008, he came out. It was in People magazine. It was like this big thing. And he's like, yeah, he's gay in real life too. Oh my God. And I think that was supposed to be kind of the big breakout.
And then he just ended up doing Hallmark.
I mean, ended up. But like, you know, like maybe for him, that was like, he very happily did it. Mm-hmm. But he did many heterosexual Hallmark movies before he ended up doing a gay one, which was a big deal. Mm-hmm. They promoted the hell out of it as being the first one. And I think Billy Eichner was like, come on, come up to the big leagues.
That's fun.
But also, the movie that Billy Eichner is making did not exist in culture, could not exist in culture until he made it, yeah. Right?
And,
you know?
And to talk more about like promotion, Good Luck to You, Leo Grand is this like Sundance movie that people really liked at Sundance. I didn't realize it was one of the Sundance movies that was supposed to premiere in person, but then because of Omicron, it premiered online. So even from the Sundance premiere, it was like a streaming thing. Hulu buys it.
Yeah.
They put it online. They're releasing so many movies this summer. We got that email from like all these Hulu movies, and it's just like, it's just being dumped in this batch of summer movies. Then you have Bros, which is, it seems like they're pushing hard and spending a ton of money. It's not the same thing. It's a theatrical movie, but like still, it continues to surprise me the amount of money that they are spending on Bros.
I mean, it's theaters are bust, which is like kind of great because, you know, you look at Fire Island and you're like, wow, I wish I'd seen it
in a fucking theater. Right.
Right, right, right. Good luck, Leo Grande. I get why that wasn't in theaters. It makes kind of more sense to be a quieter situation. But in terms of like, I think Billy Eichner was like, if this doesn't hit theaters, like, I'm not doing it in a way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It has to. So this is a big deal for him. What else? Is there anything else interesting about him? He's Canadian. He used to sing music. He's done
really
it
good
all.
Friends with Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Tony Award winner Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Yeah.
He's also a woodworker, and he made Jesse Tyler Ferguson a crib. That was like one of the things on his Instagram that I noticed. His Instagram name is 10_minutes_younger, which I don't quite get, but it's nice. Not his name.
What does that mean? Does he have a twin?
He said, trying to master the hand-cut dovetail at hashtag hand tools only. It's a work in progress and hard. Practice, practice. The only way to get to woodworking, Carnegie Hall. That's when he was making this crib.
Yeah, the reason his Instagram is 10 minutes younger is because he has a twin
sister. Stop. Oh, so he's 10 minutes younger.
He's 10 minutes younger than his twin sister, Ruth.
Okay, yeah. That's some fun. That's a fun fact.
That's a little cute.
That's a little cute.
That's a little cute.
That's a little cute.
McFarlane also plays the cello, and this skill was used in the Hallmark movie Chateau Christmas. He also plays the trumpet.
Okay, this guy's really talented.
Wow, two hunks in a row.
Hi, Who Weekly. My 20-year-old assistant is shocked, dismayed, horrified that I don't know who someone named Bozzy is. I have quite literally never heard of this person. It's spelled B-A-Z-Z-I. She thinks I'm crazy that I don't know him. Am I just old? Is he a Gen Z them? I have a lot of questions. Thank you, Leanne Cuisine. Crunch, crunch. Good form, Bella Thorne.
I feel bad for this person whose 20-year-old assistant is saying, like, gaslighting them into thinking they have to know who this is, you know? Mm-hmm. Because who is he?
Who is Bozzy? I only know the one song.
I feel very much like he's like Zed again or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's, but I know that he's not actually just like, he's not a Zed producer again. Guy. He's a singer. He is like more of a singer.
No, he's a singer. He's not a DJ. Yeah.
Right. But like he has the look of a producer. Well, he also has a Gen Z haircut, which is the, you know, smooth, short on the sides, curly on the top.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Very Justin Timberlake. It's back apparently.
It's everywhere. It's like, it drives me crazy. It's everywhere.
It's, and it's fascinating because have you seen all those blind items about Justin Timberlake having a hairpiece? Sorry. I'm sorry. But have you seen those?
No. You saw him dance, right?
Yeah.
I think it showed my age that when I saw the viral video of him dancing that everyone was making fun of, I was like, what's the problem?
You, it looks good.
It's like, what's the problem?
You said, there he goes.
There
love
he goes.
That guy.
And it was like, wow, embarrassing. He looks off. I was like, actually, this is the cutest I've ever found Justin Timberlake, to be honest. I'm being 100% serious.
Oh,
the video
I
of him
you,
dancing,
man.
I was like, I've never you. Thought Justin Timberlake was cuter than he is right now.
Really?
As a general rule, I'm repulsed by him.
Not even when he's like at his actual objectively cutest?
I was not an NSYNC kid.
Yeah. Well,
I thought like Brian Luttrell was a lot hotter than Justin Timberlake. I was a Backstreet Boy.
So crazy.
I was a Backstreet Boy.
That's crazy.
So anyway.
Who's Bozzy? He got popular. This is, want me to read a sentence that'll make you feel like your bones will crumble to dust? Like this will make you, you know, like in a cartoon where the skeleton like kind of crumbles
and then it blows
the body.
In the wind. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this will do that for you.
Crumbles within the body.
His song Mine, released in October 2017, gained popularity in early 2018 when it became a meme through the Musical.ly edits and the use of a Snapchat lens filter featuring the song. Bozzy has been a Vine personality whose 2015 song Bring Me Home was the very first Vine featured track on the service's flirtation with music discovery. He self-released Mine in 2017 and it took off once the internet took Bozzy slurring the words "you so fucking happy when you smile" to soundtrack comedic videos with the heart emoji filled Snapchat Be Mine filter. That was a more descriptive description of what happened with this, and that makes me feel even crazier. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of remember this.
Yeah, it's a very familiar song, but that's who he is.
USA Today wrote, "Everything you need to know about Bozzy, the voice behind the viral sensation Mine." This was written in 2018. One, Mine came to him at a pool party. Two, he's a social media sensation. Three, he's opening for Camila Cabello. He already did that. Four, Taylor Swift is a fan. Five, the first album he ever bought was Foo Fighters. Six, he's obsessed with space. Seven, he's Lebanese-American. Eight, his list of talents don't stop at singing. Nine, exes have called him out for writing about them. 10, fangirl encounters are becoming a regular thing. That's my sleeping. The Z's.
11, his Instagram model girlfriend who has a twin sister never posts him and only posts photos of herself with her twin Instagram model sister.
Oh my God, she loves her twin. Like, is there nothing worse than being an Instagram model? It's being a twin Instagram model, meaning there's two of you, you know?
And they're not identical either, which I think is good. Because you don't want identical twin Instagram models. You want there to be like a slight deviation.
Well, yeah, because then you're the same model. You know, you need to create a little bit more of a market.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Talk about having a broken brain from this beloved podcast. Entertainment Weekly posted on Instagram that there is a third installment of My Big Fat Greek Wedding coming out. And it says Nia Vardalos is returning to direct my Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 in Greece. And of course I read it as 3 in Greece. Love you guys. Crunch, crunch. 3 in Greece.
3 in Greece.
3 in Greece.
Did you ever see My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2?
Well, I was going to ask you if you ever saw My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
No. I actually rewatched My Big Fat Greek Wedding like accidentally a few weeks ago.
And?
Terribly written, but perfectly plotted, if that makes sense. Nia Vardalos is very annoying, but also very charming at the same time.
Well, Nia, that,
it's weird.
I was going to say, I think that Nia Vardalos, have we ever talked about Nia Vardalos before?
Yeah, we've definitely talked about her before.
I just feel like she is such a fascinating Hollywood figure in that.
She is.
Right? She creates this phenomenon that is bigger than any movie before it, right? In this way where it cost no money, it made more money than God. It's so unexpected. It's such a hit. It's a phenomenon, whatever, whatever, whatever.
She has her two patrons to thank, Rita and Tom.
Her entire career is based off this one product, and she almost like can't escape it ever, right? And it's just crazy to me that, first of all, that people keep letting her make movies. They're all kind of flops, you know, since, right?
I have a quiet soft spot for Connie and Carla. I think Connie and Carla is actually like, and I think I'm not alone here, Connie and Carla has a bit of a cult following. It's pretty cute, the one with her and Toni Collette.
I didn't even see that. Because she also just made, like, My Life in Ruins, which is essentially, like, a woman goes to Greece. And she,
a Greek,
you know,
woman
and she
goes
made,
to Greece.
Right, and she made I Hate Valentine's Day, which is not about Greece, but it stars John Corbett, the guy from...
How did you say that name?
I'm sorry. I've done this before. Corbett?
John Corbett. You called it. It's like, oh, you used to call Angela Bassett.
I know.
John Corbett.
I know. Anyway, she made, like, who's my from My Big Fat Greek. I just feel like it's like she keeps on trying to, like, redo the equation. So it's really funny that she's finally getting My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3, even though My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 was not good. It's not good at all.
It got terrible reviews, but I guess these movies make enough money to justify the next one's existence, you know? And especially in COVID times where, like, everyone's trying to, like, you're trying to get the lowest bid on, like, a movie. It's like, I can make a movie for $10 million. I can make a movie for $8 million. And Nia Vardalos is like, I can make a movie for $2 million and, like, a pretty good per diem if you send me to Greece.
Right. But there also does feel like, maybe you brought it up too, but the Rita and Tom connection, I think that they love her so much. They have a lot of faith. They're like, oh, I guess you can, like, make... You know, sure, fine, whatever.
She made them so much money. She made Tom and Rita so much money that
I know.
And she and Rita, at least, are such good friends. I do believe that as a genuine, like, long-lasting friendship, that it's sort of like, let's do her another favor. Let's throw her another bone. Every few years, they throw her a bone.
Right. And to be fair, it's not a favor to make
these
this.
Characters.
It's not a favor to make a sequel to one of the most popular movies of all time, but it is after having a second sequel movie that wasn't good.
Look at
Did
this.
You
Look
know
at this. It cost $18 million.
Which one?
It
the
made
second one?
The second one. It cost $18 million. And it got terrible reviews, and it made $90 million worldwide.
So, right.
You know?
So it's not a flop. It's just a critical flop.
Yes.
Did you know that they even made, and I didn't know this until it popped up in front of me, a TV series after the movie, My Big Fat Greek Life. And John Corbett, as I pronounce it, did not want to be in it. So therefore, everyone else is in it except for him. And... because of that, they had to rename the main characters to Nia, which is her name. Obviously, they just gave her her name. And instead of Ian, it's Thomas Miller.
Yeah. Because she's Tula in the movies.
Right. And it's the same movie, but without John. I mean, the same plot, but without John. Yeah.
I watched the first episode with my family because my family loved My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Stop.
When the show premiered, we all watched it. We watched the first episode and it was like instantly terrible and we never watched it again. It was very, like, I remember the sentiment at the time was like, this is a disaster. This is going to be a disaster. But it's one of those things that I think that they were like, well, this will be worth it even if we only give it, like, 6 episodes.
If you thought the wedding was fun, wait till you see what happens after the honeymoon.
I told my family before we left that we would need time to ourselves.
Oh, thank God.
My Big Fat Greek Life. Premiere CBS Monday, right after Everybody Loves Raymond.
Wait, listen. John Corbett had to turn down the role of Thomas Miller because of his contractual obligations to Lucky 2003. I don't even know what that is. Nevertheless, he agreed to be a guest star on the show, which is very confusing, portraying Thomas Miller's best friend, but the series was canceled before his guest appearance could happen.
Lucky is the show that he made where he's like a gambling addict.
Okay, so that flopped too.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Him, Craig Robinson, listen to this. Oh my God. An FX original series. I remember the posters. I never watched it. John Corbett, Craig Robinson, Bo Derek. Maybe that's how they met.
Oh, romantic.
I think they met on the set of Lucky. They met in 2002. Must have been on the set of Lucky.
Somebody got lucky. Not that TV show.
Yeah. Anyway, the video in which Nia Vardalos announced this was on Instagram.
I want to teach you your first Greek word, which is e skinothetis. And what that means is director. And guess who the director is? It's me. All right, you guys. Thank you so much.
They're letting her direct?
They're letting her direct.
Incredible.
Are there any other thems in the My Big Fat Greek franchise? All these people are character actor who's, right?
Yeah, kind of. Nia, I think.
Is Nia a who, right?
Is Nia a who? I think she is.
She's
That's
a who, for
thing.
Sure. She's a who, for sure. And right? I think John Corbett is also kind of a who.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. I think so, too. I think so, too. But she did. But when My Big Fat Greek Wedding came out in what year? What year did it come out?
2002.
She was them. She shot up to themdom, you know?
I like the thing about this movie is like it's like devolved into a joke, but I have such a vivid memory of seeing it in theaters.
Me too, and I loved it.
I sat in the front row because that was all that was left.
Wow. Front Cute. Row.
Front row. He the sat AMC Under Oaks 24, yeah, for sure.
Oh, shout out to that.
Shout out to them. They're closed now.
Oh, well, you know.
You know. Next call.
Hi Bobby. Hi Lindsay. I was just talking to a friend of mine about Sam Asghari, and she directed me to his sister's Instagram page. I believe her name is Faye Asghari. The very first post is her in what looks like a wedding dress with a horse, and she's gently cradling the horse's head. And it's got the most incredible caption I've possibly ever seen, and I'll leave it to you to go read. And I just want to know everything in the entire world that there is to know about this woman. Tim Tebow lesbian, crunch, crunch.
Sam Asghari's sister's Instagram is where we're at currently.
Faye Asghari on Instagram. Okay. He has a few sisters. He's the only boy in the family.
Her job is cosmetic injector, national trainer.
Oh, yeah.
She's
a model.
Wait, she's a cosmetic injector and horseback rider? What's national trainer?
She trains people to be an injector as well. She's also getting like a doctorate in nursing right now.
Wow.
Her most recent post on the grid is her, as the caller said, in what looks like a wedding dress. It's kind of like a sequined white dress with a big flowy cape thing. And she's fully glam, clutching a horse. And it says, "The most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart." Helen Keller.
What?
So that's Sam Asghari's sister. Who is she? She actually has quite an interesting background. She was at the wedding.
She posted a picture with Selena Gomez.
Mm-hmm. And her other sisters at the wedding. And Selena's there. Selena's there with her hands in her pockets. Selena is there. And she did an interview last year on the website of a chef named Vicky Colas. It's called Nurse Faye Asghari, I Am Living Proof of the American Dream. And so it's
Wait.
Like, she gave her entire biography to this woman.
Sorry,
it's fascinating.
I need to interject. I just went to her sister's. She has a sister named Maddie.
Maddie
is also a cosmetic injector nurse.
Yes, they both work together.
I'm sorry, Sam Asghari has two sisters, and they're both nurses who do cosmetic injections?
Yeah, and do you think it's lucrative in Los Angeles?
I know, but I'm just saying, like, that's crazy.
It's amazing.
Two nurses and they both do cosmetic injecting.
Yes. She moved to the United States from Iran after getting her degree in microbiology. And so her story and thing is like, I went to school. I'm quite smart. Like, I got a degree in microbiology in Iran. But when I got to the United States, like, and I met up with my family because her father moved there when she was a kid, she was like, my degrees didn't transfer, so I couldn't actually use the schooling that I had to get a job that I wanted. So she had to go to school again. So she moves to the middle of the country somewhere. I think it was in South Dakota or something. And she gets a degree in nursing science. She moves to Los Angeles, is a nurse, starts doing injectables. And now she's in school to get a doctorate in nursing. She wants to be a nurse practitioner. She's fascinating.
There are three sisters, but I can't figure out if the third one is also a cosmetic injector.
I couldn't either. And because I couldn't, I assume she's not.
Oh, because I couldn't, I assume she is.
Oh, you assume she's also an injectables person?
Yeah, I assume she's also a nurse who does cosmetic injectables. When there's smoke, there's fire. If there's two sisters who are both cosmetic injectors, there's three sisters who are all cosmetic injectors, you know?
Yeah, this is a great, this is a final great piece of information from another interview.
Yeah.
Which she did with Men's Health. It says, she said that she is the reason that Sam went into modeling because she was a model first.
Of course,
she said, hey, brother, you're pretty. You should be a model in Los Angeles. And he did it. And guess what? That's how he fucking met Britney Spears.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I'm calling back. I just messed this up. This is where my brain is broken. Okay, long time. Please settle a bet amongst three longtime hooligans. I think that there is a better chance that Stephen Colbert knows who Kristen Cavallari is than if Kristen Stewart knows who Stephen Coletti is. I know that maybe none of these people actually know who the other is, but I think there's a better chance of the first than the second. Other hooligan friends are convinced there's no way Stephen Colbert knows who Kristen Cavallari is and that Kristen Stewart knows who Stephen Coletti from Laguna Beach is. Okay, thank you so much in advance, me in Greece, Lindsay Podcaster, Timmy at Coachella.
This is one of the wildest questions we've ever been asked. Is there a bigger chance that Stephen Colbert knows who Kristen Cavallari is or Kristen Stewart knowing who Stephen Coletti is? That's crazy. I barely even know how to answer this. I think...
it's like a mind game.
I think the easy answer is that Stephen Colbert knows who Kristen Cavallari is because he's a fucking talk show host and his job is to know
exactly.
as many pop culture people as possible.
Exactly.
But I also think that it's pretty likely that Kristen Stewart knows who Stephen Coletti is because you know that Kristen Stewart like gets
and
high at her house and like turns on Hills clips.
Right.
You know, like
it's
on her
LA. The Hills is LA culture. Like I feel like as an LA girly, which she is at heart and she lives there, she's been exposed to Laguna Beach, the Hills, and maybe the city as a thing. But you're right. There is in terms of like which has a bigger chance, it's that Stephen Colbert knows who Kristen Cavallari is because he's a talk show host and has been exposed to many, many, many cultural, you know, touch points.
Many, 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 many. Yes.
But like, but if they both know who the other person is, who would have more of a knowledge of them? I would argue that Kristen Stewart would have more of a knowledge of Stephen Coletti because it means she watched the show and therefore you would have more of a knowledge.
Yes. Yes.
But you didn't ask that.
You didn't ask that.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time, first time. I'm here with some hooligan friends. We got a question for you. We need you to rank these Tonys in order from who to them. Toni Collette, Toni Soprano, Toni the Tiger, Toni Braxton, the Tony Award, Toni. We need to know. Crunch, crunch.
What?
I like... beginning with the hold my hand bleeding.
I was like, why is this in this call? Okay. Colette, Soprano, Tiger, Braxton
Awards,
Tony. I hate this. I like how Tony do you Collette, how do Tony you Bryce, even Tony I guess Soprano. The whoiest is Tony,
Tony
if only
Tony,
because
Tony.
Of nostalgia, you know.
Yeah, they're not like still making music. Tony.
Right. Then how do you even? I mean, I guess like then who?
What was
then
the main
Tony
song?
I don't even know. But they just get brought up a lot because that name is perfect, and also there are three people in it who are Tony, and Tony, which is like incredible.
I think it feels good. Feels good as their big one, but whatever.
How does that go?
Feels good. It feels good. So Tony, hooiest. Then I'm gonna say. Oh my god. So we have Colette Soprano, Tiger Braxton, and Award. This call. How do you even all of these next ones, they're themmy. That's the thing. Colette Soprano, Tiger next?
I think Colette is next.
Really?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I think she's next. I think Colette, then I think Soprano, then I think Braxton, then I guess Awards.
No, Soprano is definitely themmier than like
than Braxton.
I think Braxton is better than Tony Soprano. Tony Soprano is a character. Tony Braxton is an award-winning, like, decades-long singer.
But you know who Tony Soprano is even if you haven't watched The Sopranos.
Yeah, but you know who Tony Braxton is by just being alive. It's Tony Braxton. I'm not going to rank a TV show character above Tony Braxton. Sorry, that's not happening.
So Tony, Tony Collette, Tony Braxton, Tony Soprano, and then what? Is it Tony Awards and Tony the Tiger? Is the Emmy is Tony,
no,
Tony
no,
the Tiger?
No, Tony Soprano, then Tony Braxton, then Tony, oh God, this is impossible. I'm not. Is it,
okay, what's the Emmiest one? Because the ones that you have left are Tony the Tiger and Tony Awards.
I guess the Tonys are the Emmier one, Emmiest one.
God, that's so confusing. I know that the Tonys are a them, but also like Broadway's definitely like pretty hooey.
No, it's not. It's just more like when you think of Tony, what do you think of? I don't know. I guess I would think of the Tonys. Maybe. I wouldn't think of Tony the Tiger. Maybe he needs to be lower.
Tony Collette, Tony the Tiger, Tony Soprano, Tony Braxton is the Emmiest Tony.
To me, she is, but yeah. You know, you think Tony Soprano is a Emmiest Tony.
I think that Tony Soprano should be higher.
Highest, though.
I'd actually go so far as to say that Tony Soprano is higher than the awards. I actually think it might be Tony, Tony Collette, Tony the Tiger, Tony Awards, Tony Soprano, Tony Braxton.
You think Tony? Now you think Tony Braxton is the highest?
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is like Tony Collette is Tony with an I, so she's at the bottom. So is Tony, because that's Tony with a Y, I, and E. Accente goo. You know?
Yeah, but still, accente goo. Accente goo. Tony.
Collette.
Tony the Tiger.
Tony Awards.
Tony Soprano, Tony Braxton. Yep.
Tony Soprano, Tony Braxton. I think a lot of people are going to agree with you, but I still stand my ground.
You think that the awards are number one?
No, I think people are going to say that Tony Soprano is number one, but I still think Tony Braxton
yeah,
is number one.
Yeah, I
and also Tony,
I really
well,
Tony
Braxton
Tony
is also with
an.
Oh, the other. Well, the argument against mine is Tony Braxton is with an I. So it's like it, Tony.
But still, she's Tony.
Yeah.
This is a homophone game. This is a homophone game.
What do you call me?
Also. Remember when we skipped work and called in sick to work and drove to Connecticut to see Tony Braxton? That was a good day.
Remember we had to literally keep it a secret and not post anything or talk about it
on any social media
because we
yeah.
would have gotten fired from our jobs, which was like really funny actually. And
let me tell you something.
And then we went to see her perform at Mohegan Sun, and she kept sitting on people's laps in the audience.
Hi, Who Weekly. Please rank from who to them the lady. Lady Gaga, Lady Di, Lady A, ladies and gentlemen, in the ladies' room. Crunch, crunch.
What? What about Lady Bunny?
We're ranking the ladies. No, they didn't ask for that.
Okay.
They said rank Lady Gaga, Lady Di.
They're missing
Lady
some
Di.
Ladies in here.
No, but this is—they're not missing. This is what the call is. This is the thought experiment.
Okay.
Lady Gaga, Lady Di, Lady
ladies
A,
and
ladies and gentlemen,
in the ladies' room.
In the ladies' room. I think they mean the actual space. Not there isn't some sort of like cultural ladies' room that we're not thinking of. I think they mean the actual space where ladies go pee.
I reject ladies' room. I mean, I don't understand how we're supposed to rank ladies and gentlemen and the ladies' room.
Well, that's why they're calling, because okay. they don't know how to do this. Okay. We're the people who know.
Okay.
We're the ones who know.
Okay. Di, A, Gaga, ladies and gentlemen, the phrase, and the ladies' room as a concept?
Yes.
I don't like it as a concept. I think, you know, gender's passé. I don't like it. Who needs a ladies' room anymore?
Lady what? A at the bottom. Everything should be single stall also. But
oh my God. Lady, I'm not going to get into your trauma. Lady A at the bottom.
Lady A at the bottom for sure.
Yeah.
We're talking about the formerly known as the country group Lady A, the ones who stole the name Lady A, not.
They used to be Lady Antebellum. Let's,
yes.
So people don't forget. But
yes.
They changed their name and then stole a woman's name. It was crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Lady A at the bottom.
Then I would say ladies' room is next. I don't like it.
Also, people don't say the ladies' room.
Yeah. Doesn't Cher say haul ass to the ladies or something? That's the last time yes. it was relevant. That's the last time it was relevant when Cher said haul ass to the ladies, right?
She's talking about Horowitz, not Mononymous. Okay.
Right. Sorry. No. Yeah. Horowitz. Cher Horowitz.
Gotta haul ass to the ladies.
Clueless.
Okay. Lady A, ladies' room.
Then Gaga, unfortunately. Then Di.
Then ladies and gentlemen.
Then
the
concept of then saying ladies and gentlemen, because I do feel like we still do say ladies and gentlemen. Because we remember Ladies and Gentlemen Her.
Yes, Ladies and Gentlemen
Her. Her.
Yeah, that's funny. Okay, we got that. That's easy.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby and Timmy.
Okay, we're done.
Sorry, we just heard a call in which the person is talking and then in the middle of the call goes, wait, don't play this call, and then just spirals into madness. See, that's the thing. You have to lead up front with don't play this call. You can't realize halfway through. We're not going to play it, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, we're not going to play it. We're not going to play it. Thank you to everyone who called in. Keep calling in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song. Thank you to Timmy, our research and editorial assistant, for researching and editorializing. Support us on patreon.com/WHOweekly for bonus episodes, a Discord server, an occasional newsletter. We just released a new newsletter. Timmy's a creative director. He had a great idea, so we did that. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you... Oh, rate and review Simple Podcasts. And we'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby, first time, long time. I was describing in detail to my boyfriend the whole Austin Butler breakup situation and how annoying he must have been during that time. And I just really need someone else to hear the thing that my boyfriend just said to me, which is...
All I heard is that things have gotten very annoying after 9 years of dating. And all I can imagine is, you know, Vanessa Hudgens and this guy have had, like, they've done all the interesting new sex things, and just a casually Tuesday night, they're just, you know, lovemaking, and then he finishes and just, oh, oh, oh.
So thank you so much for listening to that, which will be echoing in my head forever. Crunch, crunch, me and Grace.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby, long time, first time. This is such an embarrassing first thing to call about. I just had to pause the pod because you are talking about Lisa Barlow and her DC, and I was just shot back to elementary school when I was really into Diet Pepsi and tried to abbreviate it DP and asked my friend's dad if he could get me a DP later, and learned very early that that is an inappropriate abbreviation for Diet Pepsi. So I switched to Coke. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Frank from Who to Them. Goo goo. Gaga. Da da.
So I just saw Julia Fox on one of the brand new e-bikes zooming down Broadway. She looked like a dominatrix supervillain. She was vaping while she was on her bike. She looked really cool. Crunch, crunch.
So I may call too much. My 3-year-old just said that our dog Otis, that his nickname is Lindsay Bobby. So crunch, crunch. Bye.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Thomas, long time. You played this as a caller. You're doing amazing, sweetie, which, you know, I love, but seriously, what is Substack? Cause you keep mentioning it and it's like the Who-ish, like I haven't. Is it an email chain? What? Why do I have to pay for it? Love you. Crunch, crunch.
Toot, 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 come on and take me away. Toot, toot, toot.